something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled, The True Meaning of Christmas.
Hallelujah. Why do I love Christmas? It's all about one man, one God-man. It's all about him. Is that correct? It's about Jesus Christ. But in reality, it's about us. It's about us more than it's about him. Did you know that? It's actually more about us than it is about him. Because everything, think about it, Jesus was born for us. Not for God. Not for himself. He was born for us. He was the only one ever to be born for others. Your life is always for you. If you live well, it's for your good. If you don't, you're in trouble. You're not doing anybody any good to live well. You're doing yourself good. But Jesus was born for the good of other people. He had no need to come. There was no other reason for him to come. There was no reason for him to be born. He was born for us. This is an amazing reality. Someone who was born because of other people. Absolutely. Absolutely. So when I think about Jesus, these are things that go through my mind. In Christmas time is one beautiful time in the year to consider this. And you see, everybody's beautiful because Jesus made us beautiful. Isn't it true? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. He is why we are the way we are. See, he's made us beautiful. Jesus Christ, he was born for us. Say, he was born for me. Say it again, Jesus was born for me. Think about that. That's wonderful. An amazing truth. Okay, so I've got three nice lines for you tonight. A sermon that you can go and preach everywhere. It's very easy, but very profound. Very profound. Because I'm thinking about Jesus. Who is this man of Galilee? Who is he? What does he mean to us? First thing, the first one, these are three lines you know very well, okay? But it's nice when we address our minds, our spirits, with these simple lines. Number one, Jesus is God's word in flesh. Is that correct? That's simple. St. John's Gospel chapter 1, when you read from verse 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? The Word was God. Then it goes, verse 12. No, go straight to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Better rendering, became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. The Word of God became flesh. Think about it. God's Word in flesh is Jesus. When that baby was born in Bethlehem, it was God's Word that was born in flesh. A miracle of miracles. He wasn't conceived like everybody else. No. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was born into this world. God's Word. Until then, it was only a voice. God's Word came only as a voice. In Genesis, the Bible tells us, when you read in chapter 3, it tells us the voice of God came walking in the garden. It was God's voice walking. They heard His voice, but they had never seen His shape. Nobody knew who He was, what He looked like. He was God's voice. Voice. Even the prophets heard a voice in their spirits. They heard a voice. Some heard a voice from above. It was just a voice. Until He was born, that voice put on flesh. Jesus was God's voice in flesh. He was God's voice in flesh. Can you imagine? I'm talking to you now. Imagine if my words, as you were hearing them, began to form a human being. Jesus was God's voice in flesh. The voice of God that Adam heard, put on flesh, and He became the second Adam. Praise God. That's number one. Very beautiful. Number two is Jesus is God's love. Jesus is God's love in flesh. Oh dear, oh dear. If your spirit ever comprehends that, you'll always be a success. You'll always be a victor. You would never be discouraged. You would never be despondent. Never. You'll never be fearful or afraid. You will never be intimidated. You'll never be ashamed. If you ever comprehend that truth, that Jesus is God's love in flesh, the love of God in flesh. That's why, see, Jesus cannot but love you, because that is the totality of His personality. He cannot make a decision to love or not love. Jesus cannot choose to love you or not love you. You were born a human person. You cannot choose to be a human or to choose to not be a human. You have no choice. It's your nature. You can't change that. You can't become a cat. You can't become a dog. You don't say, today, I'll be a cow. I think tomorrow I'd like to be a rat. You can't make that choice. Jesus cannot make a choice to love you or not love you. He is God's love in flesh. He is the love of God. Do you get it? He can only love you. He can only love you. He has no options. He has no choice about it. He can only love you. Can you imagine such a thing? All He can do is love. Everything He ever did was love. All the works of Jesus were works of love. He couldn't do otherwise. It's God's love manifested to us. Love is about value. That's what love is all about. It's about value. You can only love what you value. And when you love, you value. Love is value. Love means value. So God loves you. That means He values you. That means you're something. Somebody said, I'm nothing. No, you're not nothing, because God loves you. If God loves you, it means God values you. God values you. Love is value. That means you're important to God. And when I think of the fact that I'm important to God, I'm bold. I'm bold. I'm a winner any day. The world is mine. That's the way I think. The whole world is mine because God loves me. I think God loves Pastor Chris. Hallelujah. That's the way I think. God loves Pastor Chris. God loves me. So because of that, the whole world is mine. I could never lack a thing because God loves Pastor Chris. God loves me. Can you say that? Does God love you? You see, Jesus can only love. Jesus was the love of God manifested. When He walked the streets, it was love walking. Love with two legs, two hands, one head. Think about it. Love put on human flesh and walked the streets. No wonder when He saw that woman at the city of Nain crying as it carried her son for burial. Love wouldn't let it pass by. He stopped them. They were going for a funeral. He stopped them. He heard the cry of that woman. She was a widow with an only son. Love couldn't hold back. Jesus went there and asked him to stop. Touched a bier. The young man sat up and He delivered him to his mother. That's God's love. The law condemned a woman who was caught in very active adultery. They're going to stone her to death. They're running after her. She runs toward Jesus, and the master's standing there. They gather around. They say, the law of Moses tells us to stone her to death. What do you say? He says to them, anybody among you who's without sin, cast the first stone at her. They dropped their stones and went away. The woman, Jesus looked up and saw they're all gone. He said to her, no one has condemned you? She said, none, Lord. That was the moment for Jesus to pick the stone, because He was the only one qualified to stone her to death. That's why she was still waiting, because there's one more person. Jesus was that person. That's the reason Jesus had to say something and say to her, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. God's love. Think about it. He was manifested to us. You all have Jesus in your hands. Did you know that? He's been delivered to you. You have Him. I said you have Him. You have Jesus. You have Jesus in your hands. What will you do with Him? The third thing, and I like this one. It's in, oh, by the way, did I give you a scripture for that one? No, I didn't give you. I got to give you. 1 John chapter 3, let's read it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16. You will like it. Oh, look at it. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. This is how we know the love of God. See, everybody's been looking for this love. God's love. They talked about God's love. Everybody talked about God's love. But who would show God's love? How are we going to know God's love? Can you give us a newer version, like the NIV, for example? Okay, I like it. Read what you find there on the screen. Read it for me. Want to go? Stop. This is how we know what love is. See, they wanted to know God's love, because everybody talked about God's love. Where is God's love? Does God love me? Yes, they said. How do I know? They said, He gave you food to eat. He said, no, I don't think so. My grandfather gave me food to eat. Oh, where's the love of God? They said, Yes, God loved you. He woke you up this morning. Do you ever hear that song? I know God loves him because he woke me up this morning. And somebody said, no, my wife woke me up this morning. Where is the love of God? Everybody wanted to know God's love. Where is God's love? How do we know God's love? How do we know? How do we know? How do we know? How do we know? It didn't show up in the prophets. It didn't show up in the great men of old. They were inconsistent. Now he tells us, this is how we know what love is. This is how we know. This is how we know. Oh boy, now I can tell whether Buddha loved me or not, whether Muhammad loved me or not, whether whoever, now we can tell. Now we can tell. If the prophet loved me or not, now I can tell. This is how we know what love is. This is how we know. He says, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He laid down his life. Jesus himself said it. He said, there's no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than that. Jesus laid down his life for us. This is how we know what love is. This is how we know. This is how we know. Do you realize that when you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit, that's the same life you have? I don't want to go into that, but I think I should touch on it a little bit. See, because, you know, after you're born again and you've received the life of God, life and nature of God, and you receive the Holy Spirit, you're just like Jesus. No wonder he tells us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers, because we can do it. Think about this. When Jesus was being crucified, what did he say about the people? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When Stephen was being stoned to death, the first martyr of the church, when he was being stoned to death, what did he say? Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. If you're born again, you're like that. You might say to me, Pastor Chris, I don't think I can do that. You can. If you face the same situation, you would. Because the Bible says it's the Spirit of your Father that speaks through you. He speaks through you. He'll cause you to say the right things.
Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org. For an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Dudu from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life and who is in the book of life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
This is a continuation of the message, The True Meaning of Christmas.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad Jesus was born. It was all for me. Hallelujah. There's a beautiful scripture. It's Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, from verse number 6 into verse 7. Oh, black dragons gesavre hele coast of Shalamanda geist. Straight those gefastre higestages. From verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now I'm going to read that verse one more time, and I'll read it the way it ought to be, except for a punctuation in the King James Version and a few other versions where it says wonderful, and then you got a punctuation there, a comma there, after which you got counselor. And that's not right. The punctuation between those two words ought not to be there. It's wonderful counselor. That's what it is. Wonderful counselor. And that means extraordinary strategist. Praise God. So I'm going to read it right. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Everybody say Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. Come on. Let's go again. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Say it with me. Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. That's amazing. What a revelation from God to us. I'm going to explain a little bit to you what he's talking about here. And then he goes in verse number 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Hallelujah. Of the increase and the greatness of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And we say amen to that. Hallelujah. So I want to explain to you what he's talking about, because here is tremendous revelation from God through the prophet Isaiah, when he tells us, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He says, and the government shall be on his shoulder. The government shall be on his shoulder. In other words, he will be responsible for the government. It will be his government. It shall be upon his shoulder. And that says a lot, which we may not go into tonight, but that means a lot. The government shall be upon his shoulder and his name. So I want to explain what this is about in these four names of Jesus that he gives to us. First, he says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. In other words, this son that was given for us, this child that was born, this son that was given, is going to be a ruler. So he says the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's going to be a ruler. He'll have authority. He'll have a government. There's no government without a structure. But he says the government shall be upon his shoulder, not upon his head, upon his shoulder. That means that the government will rest on his body. That means that his body will be responsible for the rulership. That means that his body will exercise his authority. So the exercise of his government will be through his body, because the government is upon his shoulder. In fact, the word translates to back, and that means from the back of the neck.
That's what he's talking about. I want to say it's from the back of the neck, like when you carry something like a burden and you take it over from the back of the neck down. So that means except the head, everything else shoulders the responsibility of government. So his government shall be upon his shoulder. It will rest with his body. Then he tells us his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, which translates to Extraordinary Strategist. Immediately, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is revealed from there, because he calls him the amazing, the awesome, extraordinary counselor. He's a counselor. That's why you have the words Wonderful Counselor, Extraordinary Counselor. And when it talks about a counselor there, an advisor who is strategic, who helps you win in life, who guides you in such a way you never lose. You're a winner all the time. You're victorious all the time, because he is the extraordinary strategist, this counselor. And you remember that's one of the names of the seven spirits of God, the spirit of counsel and might. You remember that Isaiah chapter 11, when you read in verse number 2, it goes on to tell us about the spirit of counsel. And in St. John's Gospel chapter 14, when you read in verse number 16, I'd like to read that for you. And I'm going to be reading it to you from the King James and also from the Amplified Translation. First from the King James. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And the word comforter is the parakletos. And the Amplified Translation gives us seven synonyms that that word translates into. He goes, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. So comforter is number one. It translates to comforter. Then it goes in parenthesis. You see the rest of them. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. So the Holy Ghost is a counselor. And so he is letting us know the ministry of Jesus will come to us through the Holy Spirit. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Extraordinary Strategist. That's the first thing we notice. Look at it. I want you to understand what he's talking about, because this reveals to us the prophetic plan of God. Right from when the son is born, the child is born, the son is given. Look at it. It says, unto us a child is born. He grows up as a son. He is given. When he is given, the next thing that happens is, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he comes to minister to us through the Holy Ghost, the extraordinary strategist, Wonderful Counselor. And throughout the church age, he ministers as the Wonderful Counselor, the Holy Ghost. So during this whole period, our relationship with Jesus Christ is through the Holy Spirit. Our relationship with the Heavenly Father is through the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234 812 8519834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. God bless you.